It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. The title of his message is, What Could Have Been? The text is from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22.
Turn with me in your Bible, please, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'll read for you verse 17 through verse 22. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us the story of the rich young ruler. This incident took place in the last year of the public ministry of our Lord. It was his final departure from Galilee. And as he traveled toward his final earthly destination, he taught masses of people who followed after him, as well as those he met in each city along the way. He'd just spoken about family matters prior to meeting this rich young ruler. He talked about divorce. He talked about raising children. And when he used the occasion of the appearance of the rich young ruler to give a solemn warning against the desire for dependence upon worldly riches. This is a very sad story with a very sad ending, but nevertheless, it holds some great lessons for us. You know, the greatest tragedy in this story is a single thought that we often have. What could have been? In counseling, people come in and they ruin their marriages and they talk about what could have been. You counsel with people about financial problems and they talk about what could have been had they handled their money properly. You see people with failures within their family where their children are extremely rebellious against the family and against God. And they talk about what could have been. And every time I read this story, I think about what could have been. What did this young man lose? And what's he thinking today? Everybody lives forever somewhere. This young man is alive today. He's not a young man any longer, but he's alive. What's he thinking about today? Could it be that some of us will find ourselves in the same place as this young man and have to say in our lives, what could have been? That's a tragic thought. When we have a great failure, as this man had. Let's see what the scripture says about his failure and what could have been. His possessions, what he had. You know, young people, you read this story and you say, man, he had it made. He was young, he was rich, he was a leader and authority. He had everything a man can want. And yet he lacked the greatest thing a man needs. He was a professor of the gospel, but not a possessor of the gospel. He was a religious man, but not a saved man. And you see, he's just, in the eyes of the world, got it made. But in the eyes of God, he's in terrible condition. He has a serious problem, and God loved him. And God tested him, and he failed that test. He was in his rising years, as the Puritan called it. in his young years. You know what his greatest possession was? It was youth. There was a sermon preached on September 1st, 1858 by an old Puritan preacher. And he made this statement: "We often overlook the greatest possession this young man had. The scripture clearly indicates he was young and in his early years." That's why I'm glad the Lord called me into a ministry with college-age young people. You are in some of the greatest years of your life. You are making some of the greatest decisions you will ever make, and they will affect the rest of your life. And my prayer for you is that you'll not get down the road as an older person and look back and talk about what could have been if you'd made the right choices, if you'd done the right things. He has all the opportunities, dreams, visions, and energy of young people. You have that. You have all the opportunities in the world, all the opportunities to serve God, to create a family, to have that family love and serve God. What great opportunities there are before you. And yet we live in a society where divorce rates over 50%. We live in a society where sociologists tell us 93% of the people that remain married are miserable in their marriages. You know what they're all thinking about? What could have been if I'd made the right choices, if I'd done this the right way? Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 11:9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." You're making great decisions today, young people. What are you going to do with your life? Where are you going to end up? Proverbs 20:29, "The glory of the young man is their strength, and the beauty of the old man is his gray head." 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of believers in word, in conversation or manner of life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, in all of these things. As Christian young people, be a pattern to the world of what a Christian young person looks like." Person's youth, time to serve the Lord. This same old preacher that preached this message in 1858 said of youth, "They often see the roses, but they rarely discover the thorns until they feel their sting." And that's true, young people. These are not only great and wonderful times and great times of opportunity, they're dangerous times for you. Because you're making the decisions that set the course of your life. And I pray that you won't look down the road when you get to be an older person and say, "What could have been? I missed what God had for me." You know, most of his life was before him. Now here he meets face to face with God. And I think that he's thinking it's too early to decide what life is all about for me. It's too soon to make any great commitment to go forward. Most Christians talk about what they're going to do for God down the road, but they're not doing that today for God. You know, not only was he young, he had riches. Mark 10:22 says he had great possessions. But he was not willing to give back to the God that gave him these possessions his possessions. He said no. He said no to God. I wonder how many of us have said no to God about something God asked us to do because it just didn't seem right to give up all he had and all that he gained. Matthew 19:22 says the same thing. Luke 18:23 says he was very rich. He probably had inherited much material goods because he's too young to have made it on his own. We know he read the law, but did he understand it? We know that this man was religious. We know that he said he knew the commandments. Here's something Moses said in Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as this day. Well, you know, he had wealth, but he didn't handle it right. He had wealth, but he was selfish with it. He had wealth, but he thought it was all his. He didn't recognize where it came from. Young people, God will bless you with material goods. He will bless you with opportunities. He'll bless you with friends. But recognize where these things come from. 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all, and thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. He could have given God credit for all he had. He could have used his wealth to serve God. Wow, what could it have been like had this young man decided to go all out for God? His rule, he was a ruler. Luke 18:18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Describes this young man as a man with power and authority. The word ruler means first in rank, a prince or a chief. Hey, he's young, he's rich, and he's the boss. Can life get any better than that? You better believe life can get better than that. Because this young man, though he was rich and he was in authority, did not understand what it meant to know and serve God fully. This is a tragic story. And I pray this story can never be told about one of you in the future of your life. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know what Jeremiah said? Listen, it's not up to us where we go and what we do. It's up to God if we follow his will, if we follow his way. He has a will for every one of us. How could it ever enter into this successful man's mind what could have been? For him, life was too good to consider what he could do for God. I wonder if there's anyone here today like that. Everything's going your way. Life's pretty good right now. You don't have time for the God that created you and saved you. How about this young man's religion? Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments, the Lord Jesus said to him. Well, he said, I not only know these commandments, I've done them. Now, here's this man's religion is a religion of works. He's trying to work his way to heaven rather than yield to God. That is the problem with most false religions in the world today. They place everything on works rather than faith and a proper relationship with God. And the second time the young man talked to the Lord, he dropped the word master. First time he said, "Master, what do I do to inherit eternal life?" Then the Lord said something he didn't like to hear. So he goes back and says, "Master, not good master. Master, I've observed these." He knew the law. He honored the law. He made an effort to keep the law. He made strict adherence to a system of religion, but not to the God of his faith. That is so prominent in our society today. So many people offer lip service to our God, but don't know him. You see it in political circles. You see it all around the world. His reverence in verse 17, it said, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. With all of his power and all of his wealth and all of his authority, he bowed before Jesus. First time I read this, or the first time this thought struck me years ago, why did he bow before Jesus if he's a proud, rich young man? Well, there are other people there. There are crowds gathered around Jesus. And he wanted to be observed as a respectful, religious young man. And here's a great religious leader. So he even bowed to him. There are people today that with lip service give reverence to God, but they don't know Him. They're not truly born again. Is it possible that this reverent, rich, powerful, religious, legally righteous man could have ever asked himself what could have been? But my friends, you know what? Unless this man did something to change his life dramatically in his relationship to God, today he's asking the question, what could have been in my life had I followed the advice of God when He told me to surrender to Him? His problems? His problems are what he didn't have. With all the wonderful things, the world would say he needs nothing else, but the greatest need he didn't have. It's one thing to get other things he needed, but he knew something was wrong. In the 20th verse, he said, "What lack I yet? There's an emptiness in me." You know, there are probably some people in this congregation this morning that are religious and you know verses and you keep the rules. But there's an emptiness down inside of your heart. You've never by faith surrendered your life to Christ and become a born-again believer. Well, he lacked spiritual knowledge. He didn't know the difference between a good man and a saved man. He didn't know the difference between a good teacher and God, because he called Jesus a good teacher, but not God. He couldn't separate good from God. And, you know, God is good, and goodness does come from God. But God also is the Savior of the world. Romans 10:3. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." Have you submitted yourself to the righteousness of God? Jeremiah 5:4. "Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they're foolish. They know not the ways of the Lord, nor the judgment of God." I want you to think about this young man. When he was confronted with God, he saw his goodness, but he didn't see his sovereignty. He didn't recognize him as the omniscient, omnipotent God. He saw his goodness, but he didn't see his saving grace, because he didn't accept that. This man was just being religious for a show outwardly. He lacked the sense of values. Verse 22 says, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had much possessions." He's not willing to give these worldly material goods to the service of God because he didn't know God. He didn't understand what could have been. He doesn't understand why God had given him that wealth to use it to further the kingdom of God. So he didn't have a sense of values. Deuteronomy 8:13. "And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and thou hast all that is multiplied, thine heart will be lifted up, and thou forget God the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." When things are going too good, you forget God. That's what happened to this young man. Psalm 39:6. "Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they're disquieted in vain. He that heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." That's this young man. He'd heaped up riches, but someone else was going to spend them. Psalm 49:10. "For he seeth that wise men die, and likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and they leave their wealth to others." All this wealth we fight so hard for in this life, This verse just simply says you can't take it with you. Heard a story one time about people standing around a graveside service, and one of the wealthiest men in this little town in South Georgia had passed away, and two men were standing there talking. And one of them said to the other one, "You know, he was a multi-millionaire. I wonder what he left." And the other guy said, "I don't know what he left." And a little old lady standing next to him looked up at him and said, "I know what he left." The man said, "You do? What?" "He left it all here. He didn't take it with him." You can't take it with you. Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Every person that has no sense of eternal values will someday consider what could have been if you had a heavenly sense of earthly treasures and earthly values. Young people, it is so easy to get blinded in this area of material wealth. Verse 22 said he went away sad because he wasn't willing to give up. Now here, look at this man. He's good. He's sincere. He's religious. And he's lost. This passage is about salvation and service to God. And he didn't get it. He didn't see it. Do you see this? Will you someday look back at your life and say, "If I had understood this scripture, what could I have done? What would have been?" Well, I want you to see in closing his prospects. What could he have had? He could have had a bright future and much potential to serve God. He could have had power to overcome the desires of worldly wealth had he been able to let go of these things that captured him. This young man was captured by wealth. He didn't capture wealth. He probably inherited it. But that wealth had a hold of him and he couldn't let go. Galatians 6:14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Can you say that, Christian? The world is crucified unto you and you are crucified unto the world, the wealth and material things of the society and the world in which we live. 1 John 2:17. "The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Young people, my prayer for you is that you will find the will of God and do the will of God. For there's where you get the peace that passeth understanding. There's where the greatest wealth of eternity will come to you, offered freely to you by God that created you and loves you. 1 John 5:4. "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This young man didn't have the faith to give away what he had and take up his cross and follow the Lord Jesus. He had to take care of himself. He didn't think God could take care of him. I wonder how many times we think, "Wonder if God can take care of me." The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of heaven can take care of your every need, your every thought in life, your every direction in life. What could have been? Rather than losing all he had, his power and his wealth, he could have had all the power of the universe. God's power is available to them that serve him. And this man took the lesser power and held on to it, and it cost him the greater power. He could have had the pleasure of Christ's companionship on earth and in eternity. On earth, he was a religious man. On earth, he was a moral man. On earth, he was a good man. But unless something happened after this that brought him to Christ, he's in hell today. And he's thinking about what could have been if I had only listened to the words of the Lord. What could have been if I'd recognized this truth? But he missed that pleasure. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What great fellowship. Close friends with God. 1 John 1:3, that which we've seen and heard, we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you experienced true Christian fellowship with God and with one another? This is what life's really all about. This is what the world is missing. This is what this young man did not have. But he could have had it. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God said, I'll go with you through the darkest valley, through the deepest waters, through the hottest fires. I'll be with you. And you know what? When the omnipotent God of heaven is with you, there is absolutely nothing to fear. Nothing. This young man could have been at peace with God instead of still having this emptiness when he asked this question, what yet do I lack? He lacked a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He stood face to face with him. He could have easily had it. Well, so many people think only that they'll have fellowship with God later in eternity. But God means for you to have fellowship with him now. What could have been? He could have had earthly and eternal fellowship with Christ, with God the Father. In his presence, there's joy evermore. Instead, what does he have? Eternal separation from God. Eternal suffering. This book is true. Hell is real. And there is great loss for those that refuse to surrender to the gospel. A man that would accept eternal suffering rather than a pleasant eternal relationship with God. Why did he do that? You see, he thought material things were more valuable. He thought his work was more valuable than his worship. And it's not. Your worship is first and is the most important. Well, you're young now. Maybe everything's going your way. But someday, life on this earth is going to be over for you. When you come to the end of your life, will you ask yourself what could have been? It'd be a tragic thing to spend eternity pondering the question, what could have been? What I could have done for the Lord. What I should have done for the Lord. What I could have had that I refused. This is a powerful passage of Scripture about a real person with real problems. But how have you responded? You have the same challenge that he had. You need to sell out to God and find the peace that passeth understanding.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.